Okay, let's look at Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them as light shone. You have enlarged the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every warrior's boot stomping in the earthquake of battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fire, as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Lord, bless your word, the reading of it, the preaching of it, the hearing of it. Write it on our hearts for you to be glorified in it, for us to be made in your likeness by it. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning I bring you a message about Christmas as the dawning of our light in the coming of our King. In a prior message, I made reference to the fact that we tend to see our lives in cycles, the cycles of repetitive seasons and routines in our days, weeks, months, and years. As a prime example, you know, we no sooner wrap up one Christmas when Christmas has come back around again, as we say. Or has it? We of all people need to be careful of how we think and how we talk about the direction in which everything is going. The season of Christmas is especially a sign from God that the time of our lives, the days, the weeks, the months, and the years as they stack up, they are not spent in merely routine, repetitive cycles. That's what it feels like, but that's not the reality. Much of the time we feel like that, with the monotony of repeating our mundane routines, sometimes feeling heavy and thick around our hearts. I go through that. It seems like nothing is changing. Or if it is changing, it's changing for the worse. But we need to remember that under God's providence, the passing of time is linear. It's not circular. We speak of history repeating itself. In reality, it doesn't. Now, people come along that repeat the same mistakes of past generations, but history does not truly ever circle back around on itself. What is today has not been before. There may be similarities. As Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun, but he meant that in the sense that throughout all of our history, human beings have generally been the same. We generally go through the same routines of daily life, and we generally sin the same ways, and we still have the same tendencies. But history and time is on a linear path. We will never go back to where we were 2,000 years ago. We will never regain or repeat the seconds that passed before we came in these doors. It's on a linear track. No matter how stuck we feel in the ruts of our routines, everything is changing. Everything is changing because someone has come who is changing everything. He has changed everything. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before the first Christmas, in this passage, by revelation of God, foresaw just how that divine baby at his birth did change everything. I think it's unfortunate how how much we underestimate what changed that Christmas morning or that Christmas night, whatever it was, whatever time it was in the day that he was born, we're not sure. But that day changed everything on a scale that we don't fully comprehend. But we have a glimpse of it here, and I think it does us good to look at it. A great light has been exposed to us. We see this in verse 2. If you'll look at it again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This light that has been exposed to us has pierced the darkness of our blindness to give us sight to see God in him. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," back in the creation, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ as his new creations, in other words. So this God who first brought light into being just by speaking it, who spoke his physical light into physical darkness, has spoken spiritual light into our spiritual darkness. At one time, we were blind to him. At one time, we were in darkness, unable to see him. We were unable to see the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We lived in darkness. But God intervened. He spoke light. He sent the lightning bolt of his gospel into our hearts. He pierced the darkness. He dispelled the blindness. He gave us sight in place of our blindness. This light has penetrated the deep darkness of the land we live in to shine on us and envelop us. In the life of God that was born to us that Christmas morning, the light of God dawned on us that Christmas morning. Life was born to us and light dawned on us. As the Apostle John testifies in his gospel, John 1, 4, and 5, and 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. As that baby was being birthed, that is what was happening. The light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Isaiah foresaw this 700 years before. Jesus declares about himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8:12. A great light has been exposed to us. Great joy has been increased for us, verses 3 through 6. You have enlarged the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. In other words, the spoils of war. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every warrior's boot stomping in the earthquake of battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of eternity, Prince of Peace. God has increased for us the joy of prosperity and the gladness of victory in that he has ensured for us freedom from all that want to oppress us. All, as Paul says, that have set themselves up against the cross of Christ. They are enemies of Christ. They despise the gospel. They despise the rule and reign of God revealed in Jesus Christ. You can speak of him as Savior to them, but do not speak to them of him as Lord. They will not have it. Do not speak to them of repentance unto salvation. They will not have it. And they will go so far, and they are going so far, as to kill us to keep from hearing it. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are being killed this very day, this very morning, this very moment, for their testimony of the gospel of our Lord and our Savior. But he has given us liberation from those that want to oppress us. The joy of prosperity and the gladness of victory, in spite of all they will take from us, in spite of how they oppress us, this is what he has given to us. The day is coming when even the stomping boots and the bloody uniforms of our enemies will be burned up so that there will be no evidence they ever existed. The day is coming when they will be wiped off the face of the earth. We will inherit the earth. And we will look around and we will see no evidence that our enemies ever existed on it. Their very memory will be wiped away. The Bible tells us that this is true because Jesus has defeated our ultimate enemy, and that is who? It is Satan and his demons. He has destroyed their power over us by the cross. And he has taken our guilt and shame and nailed it to the cross so that they have no more power over us. It is the only power they can have over us, and Jesus has destroyed it. All because a great king has been given to us. Again, verse 6, now with verse 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. A child born of a woman, a young girl, not even a full-grown woman. A child born of a woman by God, a son given, born as one of us. He is the Son of God given to us. Well, how we underestimate this gift. God sent his own Son. Not a substitute. Not a second choice. He sent the first choice. He sent his own Son. He gave his own Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. As Paul says in Romans, if God has given us his own Son, will he not also along with him give us everything? How often we look at the lesser and miss the greater. How often we cry out to God for all the lesser things and look right past the greatest gift he's given, and that's in his own Son. As the angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, Luke 1:35. And as the angels declared on that holy night, that Christmas night, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, Luke 2:11. On his shoulder is the government of God's nation, the rule of God's kingdom, the dominion of God's domain, being himself Wonderful Counselor. As the one who knows and shows the ways of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know the way of God, the truth of God, the life of God, it is in him. Ask him and he will show you. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. As the one having the power of God to work out the plans of God. In him is the will and the work of God summed up and perfectly fulfilled. He is Father of eternity. As the one who has and gives eternity in himself, time having no power over him or over those to whom he gives eternal life. So he could say to Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who dies in me will live, and he who lives in me will never die. He is the Father of eternity. And he is Prince of Peace. As the one who has all authority to give and guarantee true peace, so he would say to the disciples many hundreds of years later, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. What the world offers you is temporary, it is circumstantial, it cannot last, it rises and falls on your temporary circumstances, how much money you have, where you live, the job you keep or lose, the family you keep or lose. That's how the world gives peace. All the world's peace is wrapped up in all the temporary things that end up falling through our fingers no matter how tightly we hold on to them. Jesus says, I do not give you peace like that. I do not give you peace like the world gives it. What I give to you, no one can take away from you. He is the Prince of Peace. Because true peace, lasting peace, peace that passes all comprehension, as Paul says in Philippians, he gives to us. The magnitude and magnificence of his divine government and peace will go on forever. As he eternally establishes and sustains his own kingdom with justice and righteousness now and from now on. As Gabriel announced to Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Luke 1:31-33. So John testifies in his vision of our Lord's glorious day. And this is lengthy, but it fits here. So please listen. Revelation 21:1-8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Do you hear the peace? Do you hear the goodness, the prosperity? And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Moving to Revelation 22:1-5, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Listen to this. They will see his face. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Guys, this is the promise of God. That is what we are looking forward to at the return of our Lord. This is the promise of God, and in his great passion for his gracious purpose, he will accomplish it. Isaiah says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Do you understand that God is passionate about bringing all of this to pass? He so easily seems so laid back when we're looking at all so many things going on around us, so many tragic things, such chaos that we see in the world around us. And it seems to just go on and on without end. And it seems to just ramp up in its intensity. And it can seem like God is so laid back, because it seems at times he's not doing anything to stop it. The things just happen and happen and they go on and on. But the Bible tells us a different reality. No matter how it seems to us on this side of it, from the top down, God is over all of it. And he is passionate about the things he is accomplishing in and through all of it. There is a way everything fits into his plan, all culminating in the first and second coming of his Son to rule and reign over his one people. It all fits. We can't see how it all fits. We can't understand how he is keeping his promise in Romans 8:28. It's work causing all things to work together for our good, for those who are called and according to his purpose and who love him. We don't understand that. We can't possibly write a book detailing how that's happening for each one of us and for all of us at the same time. But this helps me to think about that God is passionate about it. In his zeal, he is getting his will accomplished, even when it seems that everything is working against it. Christmas is the sign and celebration of a new era. That's what we have to understand. Christmas is the sign and the celebration of a new era that will never end. Our King has come, and he has overcome our darkness with the light of his own life. And one day, at his glorious return, his light will explode throughout all his creation, and he will destroy completely all darkness. The night of spiritual blindness, the night of spiritual wickedness and separation from God will be over. He will crush with his fist and consume with his fire every enemy that has ever dared to stand against him and his people in rebellion against him. His victory is our freedom and our peace under his righteous rule in his kingdom forever. That day is coming. Just as surely as Christmas Day dawned on this world, after 400 years of silence from God, there is a new day coming. A new Christmas Day, not in him being born as a baby, but in him returning as judge and king, ruler of all of God's people. The day of the Lord is coming. The Apostle Peter reminds us, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3, 9 through 13. As we wait, and I wrap up with this, Paul tells us, this is important for us to walk away. Here's where we apply all this together. Paul tells us how the light and the lordship of Christ come together in how we live right now. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. Here is where he applies what we have looked at. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great light that you have exposed to us, expelling the darkness for us, giving us sight in place of our blindness. We thank you for the great joy that has been increased for us, all in this great King that has been given to us, and this child that was born, the Son, your Son, that was given. Father, help us to take and apply this truth that we have seen and celebrate today. Walking as your children of light, no longer of the darkness. Give us wisdom to see, to sort out of our lives those things that are still of the darkness. Give us love of your light. Give us love of walking in it. Give us joy of now being children of light. Being now light in the Lord, no longer children of darkness. Help us take this call to our friends, our families, our neighbors around us. Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, for the light of the Lord will shine on you. Be glorified in this, Father. Be glorified in your Son. And in his name we pray. Amen.